B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli Show. It's game day. Yeah, we excited. We're excited for game day. Football game day. Third preseason game. Normally the most important one. We're going to see some starters tonight. We won't see the quarterback. And that's okay. I made up my mind we don't need to see the quarterback. I've also made up my mind the quarterback has to be sharp. Even though we're not going to see him in preseason, he still has the responsibility to be sharp in game one and game two. There's no leeway I give Carson Wentz. And I'm wondering how you feel about that today. Carson Wentz, coming off an injury. Do you give him solace for the injury? Or do you demand that right away he has to produce? Listen, we are coming off a shadow, a very big shadow, of one Nick Foles, who delivered for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? So Carson Wentz now must deliver for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he must deliver right away. And, like, I'm trying to think, like, how do we feel about Carson Wentz? Because I've been watching him speak to the media during, you know, after practices and things like that. And I go to myself, he's not, I don't know, what do I expect from a quarterback? Do I expect a little more than what I'm getting from Carson Wentz? Like, he doesn't really say anything. I want a quarterback that kind of says something. And I don't know if you want a quarterback that says something, but I'd like to hear your opinion on it. I want a guy, like, he's so bland and milquetoast when he talks. He doesn't talk about any specifics. And I want a little more. Am I wrong for wanting a little more from Carson Wentz? Let me ask you, Andrew. Carson Wentz, you've been watching him in these press conferences, and I know press conferences aren't supposed to dictate whether a guy is a big leader or something with his team, but is there something missing with him?
What, when he's speaking to the media?
When he's speaking. Does he exude confidence when he's speaking?
I mean, I guess he doesn't.
Do you look at him and go, yeah, damn.
He doesn't do the Tim Tebow speeches, but like, I'm okay with what he says at the press conference.
Yeah, because I'm a weird place. I'm one of these guys that tells you, ignore what Gabe Kapler is. Gabe Kapler is so goofy that you don't need. Carson Wentz isn't goofy. Carson Wentz is a resolute, determined guy. But he doesn't give you anything.
Yeah, he's like fixing
McNabb,
the path.
McNabb gave you stuff every now and then. I think a quarterback has a responsibility to give you more than what he gives.
Yeah, but didn't we rip Donovan more so than get inspired by Donovan?
Yeah, we did, but I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for entertainment value. There's nothing entertaining about Carson Wentz.
No, you're right about that. He is,
really is,
he
nothing
is
entertaining.
Boring.
And I yearn as a sports talker for somebody who's a little entertaining, and I know that's foolish. But I wonder if people have the same. Like, does that translate at all to his ability as a quarterback? When you watch him, he hasn't played in a long time. We don't know how he's going to play, right? So we're look for little things that lead up to our expectations of how he's going to play. And one of the things I look at is whether he comes off as ready to go. And I just don't get that from him. I don't get it. I'm sorry. It's probably me. People can call up today and say I'm a fool.
I mean, I agree with you. He is boring when he speaks. Like, when we promote, oh, coming up later on today, we're going to hear from Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz.
And nothing. And we get nothing. Nothing at all.
I'm like, all right, I'll hear from Doug. But then it's like, do I really want to continue to listen to Carson? What is he going to tell you? Because he's so bland.
Like, a little bit of charm maybe I'm looking for. Maybe a little bit of humor. You know, a quip here and there.
Yeah, but it's also where he's from.
He's from. He's been in Philly now for a long time. He's got married. He bought a house in Houston. What is that?
Yeah, that was weird.
So he can go hunting.
He can't hunt around here.
I mean, I mean, maybe it's not. I can't speak to our hunting culture here, but I
can go in the mountains of Pennsylvania and hunt.
Perhaps the deer aren't as
look at the deer hunter. Where'd they go? Did he go to Houston?
I don't know.
It was Pennsylvania. It was Western Pennsylvania.
I guess. What would you hunt in Houston?
I don't. Well, listen. What he chooses to live where he wants to live. I mean. McNabb had a house in Arizona, so it's not that unusual. It is unusual that he picked Houston, and that's where he brought the guys to train. But I don't know. I want to. There's something that is dissatisfying me with Carson Wentz, and I'll get over it. You know, as soon as he lights it up during the regular season, which seems to be like 100 years away from starting, for crying out loud. So, all right. So we'll talk about that. Now, also, I want to address, there was a tweet that was put out by Marcus Hayes and how he tweeted out about Nick Foles running 10 extra sprints after practice in 100 degree weather. And he puts underneath, what a leader. And I looked at it and I go, well, what is that like? Is that like did he just swim the English Channel? He ran 10 extra sprints after practice. It's a pro athlete who's supposed to be doing stuff like that, right? Like, what was so special about that? And I tweeted back, what's so special about, yeah, oh good, he was being a pro athlete. Wonderful, right? And I got hammered by Foles people.
Really?
Yes.
Wait,
they're
what?
Still there. They're still coming out of the woodwork. Why you got to rip Foles? Why? What is this hate for Foles? Not hate. It's like the guy made an observation. He ran 10 extra sprints after practice in 100 degree weather. Whoop-de-damn-do.
Yeah, it's not a.
He's a pro athlete.
It's not a Foles thing. If he wrote that, if he put that tweet out about anybody, you'd say, okay, great. That person ran 10 extra sprints.
I'm supposed to take special notice of Foles because he ran 10 extra sprints?
You'd react the same way if he wrote Carson Wentz, what a leader, right. 10 extra sprints.
Like, so what? Was I out of line by tweeting back? Oh, good. He did what a pro athlete's supposed to do.
No,
God bless
you're not
him.
Out of line. That was just another way to get Nick Foles' name back into the Philadelphia airwaves.
Well, I didn't understand the tweet about why that is so special that you have to tweet it out that the guy ran 10 sprints. So I commented on it, and people hammered me about it.
That's weird.
All right, so we'll get into that. I'll find the exact tweet I put out there and the exact tweet I answered. But the Phillies last night. I've been avoiding talking about the Phillies, Andrew. I know you're chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I got a nice T-shirt on today.
Now, yesterday, you were all about we go overboard in criticizing Gabe Kapler. And today, you're using a two-game sweep over the Boston Red Sox as reason to not only should we not criticize Gabe Kapler, we should now praise him.
He deserves credit
because
for last
they
night.
Won two, they won two games against the Boston Red Sox. We're supposed to what? What are we supposed to do?
He deserves credit for last night. You want to talk about putting out a tweet? I put out a tweet after the win last night.
Why does he deserve credit? Tell me why he deserves credit for making regular manager moves that any idiot could have made.
Yeah, but nobody would give him credit. He has this rag starting pitching staff,
yes.
And Drew Smiley
so
and his rag arm.
He took the rag out, crossing his fingers, and the other rag he brought in would get the out.
Yeah, and you know
what is so brilliant about that?
That rag got the out. And they had 5 1/3 shutout ball yesterday from their bullpen. You're not giving him any credit.
How is that Gabe Kapler should get credit for his bullpen actually doing their job?
We would give credit to any manager for making those decisions.
What?
But because
what decision? There's no decision. You run one after another. You can't pitch these guys 2 innings, so you run another relief pitcher now, hoping that he can stem the tide. What's so brilliant
about
that?
He made 5 different decisions, and that all worked out yesterday. And nobody wants to give him credit for it. Which I'm surprised. Everybody's so far out on Gabe Kapler that when he finally does something right, nobody can applaud him for
it. I don't understand how you can look at that game and say, oh my God, look how beautifully he managed that game. He just took a chance on another relief pitcher to bring in.
He made 5 different correct decisions.
Well, what's the correct decision? The player determines whether it's a correct decision. If Hughes doesn't get that guy out, is it a correct decision? What's that have to do with Kapler? It has everything to do with the player.
So
A, he couldn't continue to go with Smiley. B, he's got his early inning guy warmed up. Let's bring him in. What is that, brilliance?
So when the Phillies play poorly, everybody gets on Gabe Kapler's back, and I understand why. But then when they do something well yesterday, and it's really because of a lot of the decisions he made, nobody wants to give him credit. Now it's the players that did it.
Listen, I'm not going to criticize him today. They won the game. They won two straight in Boston, which kind of makes it even for the two they lost against San Diego.
Yes.
But to give a guy credit that he was so brilliant, like, I don't get that where we have to give him credit.
He made the right calls yesterday, and Bryce Harper, the star of the team, stepped up.
All right. So Bryce Harper, did that have anything to do with Gabe Kapler? Bryce Harper in an opposite field home run?
No, that was Bryce Harper.
Okay.
That was $330 million.
Gabe Kapler, that he got lucky that his relief pitcher stemmed the tide for five innings.
He made the right calls. Right. He made the right decisions yesterday.
He got lucky.
Okay.
It's luck. When a manager makes moves like that, it's not great strategy. It's luck. It's not. It's like you there's nothing else you can do. It's like the game's on automatic pilot. You know you can't go with your starter anymore, so you start a chain of relief pitchers. That relief pitching chain, they can only go one inning, so you try one after another and hope that it works. What's so brilliant about it?
He made the correct call on each reliever.
Come on, dude. He's got... These relief pitchers are in their same slots. It's not like he did anything unorthodox.
They don't have roles in that bullpen. The only guy that has a role is Hector Neris.
If they have roles, the first guy he's going to bring in is Jared Hughes.
Yeah, they just picked up a couple of weeks ago. He made all the right calls yesterday, and I give him credit. A guy who is hard on Gabe Kapler, I give him credit for yesterday.
Okay. All right. Give him credit. 610-632-0975. I'm going to play a little game today, I decided.
Okay.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. You know, I was in that continuing legal education class Tuesday.
Yes.
One of my vacation days I used in a classroom.
You're so wild, you.
Yeah, so I get six credits. I got nine now. I only have three left.
Until you get what?
You have to get 12 credits a year.
Oh.
So I have nine in the bag already.
Oh, I thought you got like a certificate.
No, you just get your license.
I don't know.
Keep your license activated that way.
Oh, for your lawyerism.
Yes, you have to get 12 credits a year. Every lawyer has to get 12 credits a year called continuing legal education.
Right.
So I go into all these with an open mind, thinking that something dynamic's going to happen, and I'm going to be really enthralled by the lecturer.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours in, I go, oh my God, I got 4 hours left. So I start doing stuff. And I did a top five for each major league team.
That's what you did in your class?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I spent an hour doing a top five list for every major league team, like the five best players that I could think of.
Okay.
So in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll start in the 3 o'clock hour. If you can get four of the five that I wrote down, we'll give you a fan fest tickets.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is going to be hard.
Yes.
People aren't going to get four of the five that I chose, but these are, what I did was I checked on all these. And these are mostly consensus, like if experts are picking the top five for a particular franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't go way back, but I went back far enough that, you know, under, like, if I go Boston, Ted Williams has to be one of them. And that goes way back.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get four of the five FanFest tickets. All right. Gabe Kapler's brilliance. Carson Wentz's dynamic personality. That's what we're talking about today. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. Game night tonight, and we'll go over that in a second. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
All right, it's Mike Missanelli Show. It is time to start our Twitter poll. after I tell you that our 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all you landscapers, new equipment, or if you're looking to repower equipment, they've got engine replacements in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, are you giving Gabe Kapler credit for...
Gabe Kapler? What? You're going to tick off Andrew now.
I mixed up the words. Gabe Kapler credit for last night's win. 65% say yes, 35% say no.
Man. All right. Hey, 65 yes?
Yep.
Right, it's fantastic. Hey, listen, there was no great managerial strategy last night. He did what a manager does every day. If your starter doesn't get you through five innings, okay, first guy I would choose, who I have out there, who's the first guy? Who's the most disposable guy I have out there that can pitch the fourth inning? Who is it, Andrew?
Mike Morn?
Jared Hughes. Morn has a little better standing than Hughes. Hughes is the new guy on board. He's the fourth inning that's waste a guy. And he got a double. You know, he got the guy out. He got a ground ball. Mookie Betts, right?
It was a big situation.
Bases loaded, two outs. Said a guy did a nice job. Now, when you brought Jared Hughes in, did you trust that he was going to get that done?
Of course I did, because Gabe Kapler made that decision. No,
see, this is where you're trolling me now.
No, I didn't think of that. I thought that game was going to end up being a blowout.
So why is that a great managerial move? The guy happened to throw a ground ball.
Because it ended up working, and then he got all the right decisions the rest of the game.
All right. But again, it was just like, let's throw a dart. Who I am? Who's the guy I'm going to bring in? I'm not going to bring in Neris in that situation.
Right.
There's one guy I can bring in, Jared Hughes.
Yeah, and he did all that managing yesterday. He did all that yesterday with the crap that Matt Klentak has provided him.
Okay.
It's true.
All right.
True smiling.
Sometimes players do not come through for you. And they came through for him yesterday. I don't think it's great managerial work. All right. Here's the tweet I was talking about. Mark Sayes tweeted this on the 12th of August. So I was on vacation. All right. So I didn't see it till later, probably. Nick Foles ran 10 50-yard sprints, period. After a 3-hour practice, period. In full pads, period. Alone, period. After every other player went into the locker room, period. The heat index is 102 degrees, period. Hashtag leadership, hashtag Eagles, hashtag Jaguars. Now, what would be your reaction to a tweet like that?
How come he didn't go 100 yards? He only went 50? He's not a leader.
Well, listen, it's nice that he did that, but he's an athlete. That's what athletes do from time to time, right? They do a little extra work.
Yeah.
Are we so enamored with Foles that we have to get credit for running the sprints?
Some people still are. You're right. The Folesians are out there, man.
All right. So I forget what I tweeted. But then people start coming at me. I go, dude, it was 10 sprints. Good. Good for him. It's not like he climbed a mountain, you know? All right, let's go to the phones. Rodriguez in Middletown. What's up, Rodriguez?
Mike, mi amigo, Mike.
What's going on? What's going on, Rodriguez?
Just did yay, man.
What are you doing?
It's funny because when you said that comment about Carson Wentz, I had a coworker just a week ago say that.
Really?
That he can't figure Carson Wentz out when he's talking. All he does is smile and says doesn't say much.
He's overly bland. You know, maybe it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to most people. I like to have a little fun and throw a quip in there, or you know, joust with a reporter, or do something with show some personality.
He smiles a lot, but doesn't say much.
He doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on Anthony just a few days ago when he was in your and we talked about this a little bit. Anthony was kind of upset because of Stephen A. Smith's comment last week that Carson Wentz will never have the success that Nick Foles had in the city of Philadelphia.
That's just a clickbait statement. I mean, hey, he can't possibly know that. I mean, we don't know how Carson Wentz is going to play
because
this year.
Simply because he's trying to explain that. I saw it. He saw. He said that he simply don't think that Carson Wentz would be a Tom Brady on a Super Bowl.
Well, let me ask, was Nick Foles Tom Brady? He didn't play a whole season. He didn't play all season. You know, there were limitations to what Nick Foles did.
Right, but the thing is, he beat Tom Brady. He was MVP.
Yeah, but he didn't play a whole season, so Stephen A.'s forgetting about that.
I know that, but a lot of people see this as, you know, the great, okay, what he did in the playoffs, what he did in the Super Bowl, he beat Brady, MVP, that Carson Wentz will never have that kind of success. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's a ridiculous clickbait statement, because he has no way of knowing anything like that. And he's given a little too much credit to Foles. Even though Foles succeeded in a small window of games and it was wonderful for this city, he didn't play.
Well, it was perfect,
he did, A, he didn't play a whole season. B, does he have as much talent as Carson Wentz? I mean, listen, anybody with a half a brain could look at both players and say one guy's got more talent.
Right.
Am I right or wrong?
On paper, but when you see, you know, the upset that he created when he did win that.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Rodriguez. Who won the 11 games prior to Nick Foles taking a snap?
I understand, Mike.
I don't think you do.
But it's
no comprende,
that,
Rodriguez.
Yo entiendo, Mike. Yo entiendo. Lo vemos, Mike. Bye-bye, Mike. I love you, Mike.
All right, buddy. Very. Like, how can anybody say at this particular time? I love Stephen A., but come on. Sometimes he says things that are outlandish. And so, like, he's not going to be able to do the same things Nick Foles. What does that mean exactly? He's already proven that he is a stud quarterback in this league because of his ability. Prior to winning the Super Bowl, who gave them the boost to get to that plateau where they got the number one seed? Was it Nick Foles? No, it was Carson Wentz. So anybody could say that, it's ridiculous. The Eagles looked at both. The Eagles aren't stupid, right? They looked at both players. They go, we can keep Foles. But who's the better player? Who's got the bigger upside? Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz. So a prudent organization goes, okay, well, we got to side with Carson Wentz. We drafted him to be the guy. He showed us enough. He's a franchise quarterback. He's young, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to ride with him. I can't believe we're back on this Foles thing, man.
It's not going to end until he retires.
The 10 sprints in 50-yard sprints and 100-degree heat index, bro.
He should have gone 100. I don't know why he's only doing 50-yard sprints.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize when I'm done a show, I go and I talk into a microphone for an hour just to keep, you know, the training up. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see you doing it in the backstage.
Right, I do my workouts after the show, too. Go to Bill in North Jersey. Bill, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mike. How you doing
today? What's up, Bill?
All right. I'm all for giving Carson Wentz a little leeway.
Mm-hmm. Leeway meaning what?
Meaning I'm giving him 15 minutes. 15 solid minutes against the Redskins if he doesn't have it back.
Well, you're giving him 15 minutes? That's your leeway?
One quarter is at the outmost. At the outmost, I'll give him till the half. If he comes back after the half, mm-hmm, and lights it up, there you go.
All right, that's fair. When you first started, I thought you were going to be like, well, I have to give him a couple games before he finds his stride.
Oh, God, no.
All right.
A professional athlete. Get it together.
All right, so he's got to perform right away, which is what I agree. And this is the double-edged sword the Eagles here have thrown out, because they want to preserve him, yes, but now they're throwing him into a game without any kind of snap or any familiarity with the game speed during a game, which I agree with. But that doesn't take the onus off of Wentz to perform.
No, absolutely. If he can't get it together in 15 to 30 minutes against the Redskins, then he's just not going to get it together.
Yep.
And I think he will. And as for Nick Foles, dude, do some suicides or West Points and then come talk to me in full pads in 102 degree weather.
I just thought it was a little over the top, the tweet. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
He ran 10 sprints, 50-yard sprints when nobody was there on the field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm overweight, and I could do that. Big deal.
You probably do it if you're overweight. And what I'm saying is it's the responsibility of a pro athlete to occasionally do stuff like that. It's not, like, outlandish. So I didn't know why it was focused on. That's the only thing I look at.
I guess Carson doesn't do any sprints after practice. Maybe that's what
it is. Well, maybe he does, and we just haven't heard about it. Yeah, and he posted the video of him doing the sprints. I'm going, well, Jesus, are we going a little too far here?
Yes. Yes, but it's not going to stop until he retires. And if Carson Wentz comes out the gate slow and Nick Foles comes out the gate fast, it's going to be a problem. Those Foles people are going to be loud.
It's not like he was like hanging off a train in the Fast and the Furious. You know what I'm saying? Like Vin Diesel, he ran 10 sprints. Let's get a Paul, Lehigh Valley. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
What's
this
up,
week?
Buddy? How you doing?
All right. It's a new me. My wife told me I had to calm down when I called in.
Uh-huh.
She says everybody talks about sports, and I'm calling in about Crown Royal and burgers.
That's okay. And, that's good. It's good for a show.
That's what
when
I said.
We bounce in and out.
That's what I'm saying. Me yes. and your boys, this is the way we talk. And the good news is I have her listening to your show now. So
beautiful. What's her review on the show? Does she like it?
Her review on the show so far is that I sound like I'm on crack when I call in.
No, forget about you. I'm talking about the show. talk about you here.
She's not the mm-hmm. biggest sports fan, but she likes to, from following me and then mm-hmm. listening to you, she likes to talk smack about Crappler and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So she's enjoying it. But enough about her. Let's talk about us and Wentz and Crappler, shall we?
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. You know, the Wentz thing, I'm good with just leaving him the way he is. You know, he's from the Midwest. He can play. I don't need somebody like that. Who's that guy out in Cleveland? Baker Mayfield or whatever?
Yeah. Well, you're taking the extreme here. I'm, you know, like I don't want a clown. I just want a guy who occasionally will charm me.
Yeah. You want a guy that will occasionally charm you?
I want a guy that can throw a charm. You know, when he's behind the podium, throw a little quip out. You know?
Oh.
Show me a human side more than the robot side.
Yeah, I got it. I was like, well, if you need a guy, I have a bottle of Crown Royal here. So the Crappler thing, Charlie was just a little boost of excitement. He's terrible. He got lucky with a couple calls last night. But if you get lucky out of 130 games, you still stink, and the players still don't like you. So,
well, that's what's going on in the overall clubhouse climate. Now, listen, if the Phillies actually make the playoffs, I will be the first to say I'm an idiot. Right? If they hang in there and they play well enough to make the playoffs, then I'm an idiot. Because I'm the guy who said, I don't like the climate of this clubhouse. It seems to me that they're not really invested in baseball on an every game basis. But if they make the playoffs, that would make me look like a fool. Because obviously they would have been invested enough to make that playoff spot, no matter where it goes. Even if they lose in the first round, which I fully expect them to do because of the pitching staff, still keeping it together to hang in there to make a playoff, I will recant the fact that I think that they need a change in climate in that clubhouse.
That's fair.
Yeah, I've just seen too many ugly situations with the Phillies. And when they get a little bit of a gain, they give a loss back. They get a little bit of a gain and they lose two to San Diego. They beat Boston here. Now, if they don't sweep the Marlins, I'm going to be disappointed. That's the mark of a good team. You get momentum and you push forward and you win five straight. This team can't do that.
Yeah, and it comes back to that pitching staff.
And I would love to see, like, right now is the perfect time. They've got the Marlins and the Pirates. This is the time. Now, you'll see the real team. They've got to take care of bad opponents because they've got some good ones coming up. So these are the ones you got to go. How many? They have six games against the Marlins and Pirates?
Yes.
Is it six?
Yeah, three in Miami, three back home.
They've
got
to go 5-1 against mm-hmm. these Mutts. These two Mutts, have to go 5-1. Or else it's not really that much of a game.
I completely agree. And then after that, you have three more at home, and it's against the Mets. And the Mets are the team that's tied with you right now. You guys are both a game and a half out of the mm-hmm. wild card. So that's another huge series. Fortunately, it's at home, and you beat up on them earlier in the year, but they're looking for revenge now at this point.
Now, the problem here is that Nola can't pitch in the next four, right? So now you're trying to get by with the Smileys of the world. Last night, he won the game, but he didn't do anything for you. And then you got to rely on the Vargases, and you got to rely on the Velasquezes, and you got to rely on who's the other one?
Eflin.
There's Eflin. That's Schlemiel still in the rotation.
Yeah, he stinks. What was your nickname for him? I know one was Pavajita.
It's Pavajita, and it was
Pavetta.
And it was F. Lynn.
Yeah.
See what you did there.
Yeah. Darren on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Darren.
Mike.
What's up, Darren?
Mike and team, how y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
Every day is everything. Now, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I've been blasting Gabe all year, and I heard your comments just now, but I'm just going to, just for right now, I'm just going to give him credit for last night, because that was a good team he did that against. And had we lost that game, it would be something else. That's all I got to say about that, Mike.
He didn't do, like, something special, or he didn't do something bad. He did what a manager is supposed to do to try to piecemeal a game once your starter only goes 3 2/3. He didn't make any overly brilliant moves. The guy who first comes in is Hughes. The second guy that he'll bring in is Suarez. The third guy is Morin, because he believes in him a little bit. The fourth guy is Alvarez, who's now a higher leverage pitcher. He didn't do anything brilliant. He did the next man up. I could have done that. I'm the manager. That's the guys I would choose to come into a game. So what was so special about it?
Mike, I'm just giving him credit because he did a good job against a good team at a good time. Okay, we needed that victory. I hear you, and I understand. I agree with you. I'm just giving him credit for that particular game. It was a good game to make that statement.
Okay. All right. I got you. To me, it was a normal game. I'm watching the game. I go, wow, that was brilliant that he brought freaking Jared Hughes in there. That big goof lumbers in from the bullpen.
That weird run he's got.
I'm going like this. All right, he got away with Hughes. Can he get away with Suarez? He got away with Suarez. Can he get away with Morin? That's what I'm looking at the game going. Now, I have a little more faith in Alvarez, who's been deadly against left-handers, but he got a couple right-handers out in that outing yesterday.
And
so that was on Alvarez, who's really, he's pitched very consistently. He's a guy you can count on. Now, he had Pivetta warming up and didn't have to use him, so that was fortunate because Alvarez did the job. All right, let's go Bob in Hanover. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going
today?
On, Bob?
Not much. I really like Stephen A. I just wanted to put his comment in perspective, because what he was saying was that, of course, the people on the street love Nick Foles because he took us to the promised land. Until Carson Wentz can at least get through a football season and get us some success in the playoffs, maybe a Super Bowl, that, of course, he's saying that Foles is going to be the man in Philadelphia. That was exactly what he's saying. And
I didn't hear what he said. If the guy said he said that Wentz is never going to be able to do what Foles did. If he said that, that's just a foolish clickbait statement.
He never said that.
All right.
He said it was about legacy thing. Anyway, my main comment is I got a problem with Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong with Jim Schwartz?
Now,
he did a pretty good job last year.
No, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
If we don't win that Super Bowl, mm-hmm. do you think he would be our defensive coordinator right now?
Well, what kind of a question is that?
It's a question because
you can't change history. Let's look at his performance last year. His performance last year, he had that defense pretty good last year.
There was a period when he was allowing the corners to play soft, and he didn't blitz.
But he didn't have any corners.
Yeah, but
he had guys that were hurt.
I know he's not Jimmy Johnson, but he's got to take chances with this defense this year. He's got to do some blitzing. I mean, he's got
why?
Because you can't allow a team to move down the field and then play defense once you get to the red zone.
Yeah, see, this is not the time to criticize Jim Schwartz. It's not. He had a good year last year as a defensive coordinator. He really did.
He would have been the scapegoat if we would have lost that Super Bowl. How many points did they put up?
Bro, they didn't lose the Super Bowl.
You can't change history just
to fit your narrative. You can't change history. Forget this. They won the Super Bowl. That last year, he did a good job as a defensive coordinator.
He was inconsistent last year. You got to give me that.
The numbers say the Eagles defense did a pretty good job last year.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they did.
I think we were mediocre last year.
All right, so you just have a nut for Schwartz.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think you do. You don't like the guy. That's fine. We'll see this year.
But like Jim Schwartz was not an issue. He has not been an issue. Oh my God, I have Jim Schwartz. No, he doesn't blitz. He's not a blitzer. I understand that most football fans are like this wild ass defense that plays with their hair on fire. He doesn't. He plays sound concept defense. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens this year. But it might not matter because the Eagles should score 30 to 35 points a game with this offense. And if a defensive coordinator can't hold a team under 30, you know, I can't imagine that Schwartz wouldn't be able to do that. 610-622-0975. Couple open lines, and when we come back, we'll start the baseball thing. All right, these are the top five players that I have determined, verified by research in these particular franchises' history. There's 30 franchises. All right. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 247, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. You know, Andrew, since you're a baseball guy, if the caller gets stuck, you can try to fill it in and help him out.
Okay.
Is that all right by you?
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't think you're going to do any better.
Thank you. This is 2 days in a row.
It is.
Thank you.
Hey, this is he's roasting you, Andrew.
He is. But Andrew can take it.
Yeah.
So let's go to the phones and talk to Sean and Ben Salem. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Mike, who's the greatest Eagle quarterback in history?
The greatest Eagle quarterback is Donovan McNabb.
That'd be Nick Foles.
No, that's silly.
Uh-oh. Why you always got to belittle my man?
Come on, man. I'm not belittling him. He ran 10 sprints after practice. What am I supposed to do? Seriously. What is that? Some great achievement?
There's regular season and then there's postseason. What Nick Foles did in the postseason, he brought us to Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's not the greatest quarterback in Eagle history. Sorry.
If he played one drive and won the Super Bowl, he'd be the greatest quarterback in Eagle history.
No, Sean. Done. No, it's just more than six games. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, you're being ridiculous.
No other quarterback in Eagle history ever done it, though.
He did it for six games. It wasn't like he played like an entire career and a whole season. He did something great, but he's not the best quarterback in Eagle history. Come on.
He took us to the promised land. He could have came in for one drive, and he was...
Who helped him take to the promised land? Who helped him get the number one seed?
Are you talking about regular season stuff?
It doesn't really to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Who did more to do that? Foles or Wentz?
Peyton Manning used to always do great regular season, but
Sean, your argument is ridiculous.
Now you disrespected my boy Foles.
This is still going on. It's hard to believe.
So he's also saying Foles is better than Peyton Manning is what he was just saying.
Nick Foles, I understand how Nick Foles connects with you. Okay, Nick Foles was the quarterback that won the Super Bowl game. I get it. He's not the best quarterback in Eagle history because you're demeaning a guy who played a lot of seasons, getting banged up, playing most every game, who had like 36,000 yards in his career. And even though I'm not a big fan of number five, he's the best quarterback in Eagle history. Come on. Let's go to Zach in Westchester. Zach, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Zach?
Yo, I was just saying, I was missing those Michael Vick and Deshaun Jackson days. What do you know? He's back on the team.
Who's that? Deshaun?
Deshaun Jackson.
Yep. And he's going to be a fan fest.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. He's going to be getting those touchdowns on the punt receptions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's not going to return punts.
You don't think?
No.
They need to throw him back there.
Yeah, probably. He's probably not going to be back there.
No, why not?
Because they get Darren Sproles.
Oh, damn. That's true. That's true. I wasn't thinking about that.
Is anything else, Zach? Or are you just?
No, I'm just excited.
Okay, sounds it. Well, we're off to a flying start. We're off to a flying start today.
He just wants to share his enthusiasm.
Let's go to Paul in Langhorne. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul, what's up,
hey,
Paul?
It's actually Kyle. How you doing,
Kyle,
man?
Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'm watching you on TV today. Are you wearing Natalie's headphones today?
No.
Wait, I think you might have them.
What? These are your headphones?
Do they have my name on them?
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I am wearing Natalie's headphones. They were here. There was no headphones connected to my station here.
The other ones broke. So these ones are connected to here. So those have been in there for the week.
Oh, they have been?
Yeah.
I just grabbed
Mike Scott was wearing them.
Oh, he was? Yeah. I grabbed the pair that was here because there wasn't any here at my... I am wearing Natalie's headphones. There you go. You can see it on the camera. Natalie,
I saw the nice calligraphy on the top, and that didn't seem like you. So.
What did you write? Did you put indelible ink on these things?
It's gold Sharpie.
Oh, you put a gold Sharpie?
It's my name.
Would you like your own headphones for today or what?
No, they're the only pair in them that work that are movable.
Oh okay.
I'm lending them to everybody.
Oh, okay, all right. Go ahead. What's your point?
Paul? So listen, I'm Kyle.
First of all, my screen says Landhorn. It's a new town.
That's not it.
That's a town in Texas. Landhorn. Well, that's right. Go ahead, Kyle.
Mike, the Phillies team has put me through so many emotions this year. So, like, the beginning of the year, I'm like everyone else. I'm backed up, ready to go, 4-0. Like, we're going to run away with it. Then June hits, and you're concerned. And then they continue spiraling, and then you're mad. And now you can't believe you fell for this team to be a contender. And at this point, after watching them day after day,
they're a contender.
I'm kind of at peace with the fact that they're not that good of a team, and yeah. I kind of appreciate the fact that they're hanging in there.
They're not a contender. They're a playoff wild card team. That's what they are. To call them a contender would be faulty.
Correct. But I appreciate the fact that they're hanging in there when four of their five starters are lucky to have a place in the big leagues as
yep.
it is. So... I'm rooting for them again. I'm kind of like, you know, good for them. If they can keep it going, that's great.
I am too. I'd love to see them make the playoffs, even if it makes me look stupid, because I've already created a narrative where they're not going to make the playoffs and this locker room needs a culture change. But I'd be glad to say, you know what, I was wrong. All hail Gabe, like Andrew's doing today, because he had the foresight to bring in Jared Hughes in the fourth inning, which was brilliant. I've never seen strategy like that.
Right. So, Mike, I liked your game today. The Padres game on Sunday, and I was sitting next to a Padres fan, and I was trying to come up with the top five Padres. I got like two or three. So give me someone else.
All right, well, I'm going to start in alphabetical order. I'm going to give you Arizona. If you can get the four of the five guys that I put down on this list, you'll get tickets.
Arizona. All right, so Luis Gonzalez is a lock.
I'm not going to tell you if you're right or not. You have to give me four, and I have to say yes or no.
All right, Gonzalez, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, Paul Goldschmidt.
You got three of them. Sorry. You didn't get the fourth one. Unfortunately, I couldn't put one on that list.
I'm going to guess that would be Curt Schilling.
I'm not telling you.
Oh, okay.
I'm not telling you who, because I'm going to use it again. So I can't tell them which one was right, which one was wrong. Are you compiling your little list down there?
Yeah.
What's your list?
Well, I had Curt Schilling as well. I had Randy Johnson as well. I had Luis Gonzalez as well. I had Paul Goldschmidt as well. So that's four that came right to my mind.
Okay. One of them that you said is not on the list.
Right. that's what I got.
This is a good game.
It is a good game.
Because you have to get four. I'm making you earn the tickets today. 610-632-0975. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we've got, of course, Tim McMahon is coming your way today, and we'll talk to him about your Philadelphia Eagles in a big game tonight. On the other side, I'm going to go over like some 10 areas that you want to look at tonight that will be settled in the final preseason game for all intents and purposes. Mike Misnelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.